Of my scripture to you this morning, and my scripture reading is in Exodus 23 and verse 14. Three times a year you shall celebrate a feast to me. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread as I commanded you at the appointed time in the month Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. And none of you shall appear before me empty-handed. Also you shall observe the feast of the harvest of the first fruits of your labors from what you sow in the field. Also the feast of the ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in the fruit from your labors from the field. Three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed Sabbath. We thank you, Lord, for the truths that we find within your word. The truths, including the festival days that you have set aside for us to remember all the things that you have done for us and that you've done for all of your children before us. And Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on that which we will speak and the thoughts that we will express, and help them to help each of us as you would have. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask. Amen. And my text to you is a verse 1 out of my scripture reading. Three times a year you shall celebrate a feast to me. And of course, we know that there's a lot more than just three times a year. But in this particular place in the Bible, it's pointing out three times a year, a celebration of a special emphasis. So today, I'd like to call your attention to festival notables. Things that I would like to touch on as we end, really, the year, the sacred year of God and His festival days. We pretty well ended that this last Tuesday with the last great day of the Lord, the last of the days of tabernacles. And so we see that in this particular place in the Bible is talking about three festivals. And the first that it mentions is the festival at the very beginning of the year, the festival, and I'm talking the sacred year, the very beginning of the year, which is Passover time, Passover unleavened bread. And it's at all within rights to say that these three festivals that is being given special emphasis that we read about this morning, these three festivals are accepted as the most important of the festivals and the most popular. And this first festival of Passover and unleavened bread reminds us of the sacrifice that was made. The blood had to be applied. We're talking about the sacrifice of that sacrificial lamb that God instructed the children of Israel to kill that lamb on the 14th day of the first month. And so that was part of the Passover unleavened bread season. So God the Father is letting us know that He has a plan, that He wants us to remember Him throughout the whole year and in all generations. And in Passover unleavened bread, we know that the sacrifice was made. We know that the blood had to be applied above the doorpost and the side post of the houses of the children of Israel in order for their children and the ones within that household to be saved. That is, to not suffer the death of the oldest child in the family. The blood had to be applied. The way to be saved was made. And it was made, and the symbology is, in the days of unleavened bread, that we get sin out of our life. We first know that Jesus shed his blood, and then we know that the blood needs to be applied to our heart and life, and in that process we need to be getting sin out of our life, and that is the way to be saved. The second of those special emphasis festival days after Passover unleavened bread is Pentecost, or the Feast of the First Fruits. And as we think about Pentecost, we are reminded, as we open our hearts and our minds to Him, that God will continue to provide. After we accept the plan of salvation of God for us in our lives, and we have been brought into Him, it doesn't stop there. At Pentecost, God sent His Holy Spirit. And it is a gift, just like salvation is a gift. And so we accept salvation and the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then we know that, calling upon God, that He will send the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to be present with us wherever we go and wherever we are. Fruit will also come to Him. And this is why Pentecost is often also referred to as the first fruits. Thirdly, the third great festival is Tabernacles, or Booths, or the Feast of Ingathering. And that's what we just finished with in the last couple of weeks. That was the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles reminds us that God will be with us always. Just as God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they had to live in these little temporary huts, or these little temporary dwelling places or booths, God will always be with us wherever we are. Wherever we go, He will be there. He will lead and guide us. God will give to us, ultimately, eternal life. I would like to go to Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy 16 and 16. And this is speaking of the same occasions, same kind of discussion, and a little bit different words and explanation. 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and of course that includes Passover, at the Feast of Weeks, which is also talking about Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, and at the Feast of Booths. And here we want to place a little bit of emphasis on the next words that is expressed. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. That means that 3 times a year, the males of the children of God are to be present, present themselves before the Lord. They are to be present at these 3 great times of the Lord. And it goes on further to explain. Every man shall give as he is able. Have you ever heard that expression before? Well, sure, that's the way a lot of people in mainstream Christianity, they believe that you're not expected to give a tenth or tithes. After the New Testament came into being, then you just give as you are able. But we know that the Bible says differently. The Bible lets us know that we are to give tithes to the Lord, return to Him a tenth of those, of the blessings that He has blessed us with, and give to Him abundantly over and above that in the form of offerings. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which He has given you. So we see that these three times males are to appear before God in the year, and those three times are the three times that it also points out they are not supposed to present themselves empty-handed, or that is, without an offering for that particular occasion. You might want to take notes of some of these festival notables. That's my message to you this morning. Festival notables. This don't mean that it's all of the notable things concerning the festivals. It's just the ones that I have for you this morning to point out as we are beginning our walk in extra truths of God. There are 19 total days in the year in the sacred yearly calendar of God. 19 days total that are the appointed times of the Lord. There are 8 in the spring. And notice that a lot of these have always been known as having a direct connection to harvesting crops, reaping what you have sown, God blessing you, and providing for you, as He does in the sowing of seed and the reaping of crops and the reaping of fruits. So 8 days are in the spring. It includes Passover and the 7 days of unleavened bread. 8 days are in the fall of the year. It includes the 7 days of tabernacles, and then the last great day, that 8th day that the Bible speaks of. So 8 in the spring, 8 in the fall, and then you have the other 3, one at Pentecost, one at trumpets, and one at atonement. That gives you 19 total appointed times of the year that God has given us. This does not take into consideration the weekly Sabbath days and the way that Leviticus 23 and other scriptures in the Bible, the way it points out these particular scriptures about the festival days. You would pretty well include all of the weekly Sabbaths as also appointed times of the year by God. But we are just speaking about the special festival days outside of the weekly Sabbath day. So that's the 19 total appointed days of God. And within those 19 total days, there are 7 Sabbath days, special Sabbaths that are not necessarily the weekly cycle Sabbath. Perhaps one might fall on it occasionally, and you would have what we would call a double Sabbath. It would be a weekly Sabbath day. Then it also might be one of the yearly festival days, both occurring on the weekly Sabbath day. So the 7 Sabbaths outside of the weekly Sabbaths, and these are days that you would observe to God just like you do the weekly Sabbath. It would be no laborious work done on these days. It would be rest. It would be days in honor to God, just as God Himself rested on the seventh day of creation, that's how we would show respect to God, by honoring His special seven extra Sabbath days, yearly cycle Sabbath. And these are the first and the last day of unleavened bread. Unleavened bread has 7 days in it. The first and the last are Sabbath days. Then, the day of Pentecost, about 50 days after Passover, that's a holy Sabbath. Then, later on in the beginning of the fall of the year, trumpets. That's the next Sabbath. And then the next is atonement. Then the last two are the first and the eighth day of what most people generally term tabernacles. Some refer to the eighth day of the tabernacles as the last great day. And it is that eighth day. It is that last Sabbath. So you have seven Sabbaths within this yearly cycle of festival days. There is another notable, and that is that the only fast day out of the year, there's only one Sabbath that is spoken of as a fast day, in which you are to have a solemn assembly, and you are to afflict your souls, and that means to fast. And to fast means to do without water and food for the 24 hours. That's a strict version of it. A hearing, if you want to term it that way, to the letter of the law. Without food or drink, just as Jesus did when He fasted and was tempted of Satan. The only fast day is atonement. And it's most likely the very solemnest day. It's a reminder of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He shed His blood to atone for our sins. He was the perfect sacrificial lamb of God. He took that place of that yearly sacrifice of that perfect lamb by the high priest. He went into, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year at atonement. You see how the emphasis of most solemn could be applied there. We need to also think that Jesus Christ goes into the Holies of Holies for us. As we repent of our sins, as we turn from our wicked ways, as we turn our feet toward the paths that would lead us into righteousness, into being in right standing with God, Jesus presents our cases before the Heavenly Father. I would like to, in conclusion, go to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. And verse, starting at verse 13. And there's no question in my mind that the instructions here are pointed toward the weekly Sabbath day of God. It's all indications that it is. But a Sabbath is a Sabbath. And you're supposed to show respect to God in the ways that He shows us in how to keep the Sabbath. And we need to keep in mind that these 7 yearly cycle Sabbaths and each and every weekly Sabbath are special days to God. He stopped His creative work. He set the supreme example for us by not working that day. And He chose to write it with His finger in the commandments of God that He gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. It was His 4th commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And I'm saying to you, God wants us to remember all of the appointed times of His throughout the year. They are to be reminders of us, just as the Sabbath, weekly Sabbath, is to remind us of God and His love and mercy to us and His creativity. Just as it reminds us of that weekly, each of these others appointed times of the year are to remind us of other things, all in God's plan. And some of them I brought out to you today. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, deceasing from your own ways and seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word. Then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Does that sound to you that God's blessings are going to be to you and yours and to any that will accept His truth and abide in there? I think it does. If we honor God, we seek out His ways and His truth, and we choose to obey them and to the very best of our ability try to follow them, and even search out further and further, go to deeper depths and higher heights with Him, He will honor that. He will bless us. He will never leave us or forsake us. We will have greater success. We will have much less sorrow. Our lives will be much more peaceful and meaningful. Stand with me in prayer.